Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are going to preach on the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin. It's found in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Now there you go. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. That's why this sin, the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, is called the unpardonable sin, because the Lord said she shall not be forgiven. Now the reason that it is called the unpardonable sin is that Jesus said in Mark chapter 3 and verse 29, he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. So you don't actually read the phrase the unpardonable sin in the Bible, but you read that he hath never forgiveness. And so we say it is the unpardonable sin. And what is it? It is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Now, there are times when the question is going to come up, can I blaspheme the Holy Ghost? And you know what the answer is? The answer is no. You cannot, not right now, you cannot blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Listen, there are many other sins you can commit against the Holy Ghost. You can grieve the Holy Spirit, you can vex the Holy Spirit, you can quench the Holy Spirit, just to name a few. You can disobey the Holy Spirit. But right now, blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is not one of those sins that you can commit. You see, the trouble with this sin started when the Pharisees criticized Jesus Christ for casting devils out of folks. They didn't believe that Jesus was doing those miracles by the power of God. So they said he was doing them by the power of the devil. They said he hath Beelzebub. And the fact was, he was performing those miracles by the power of the Holy Ghost. He was working in the power of the Holy Ghost. And so they committed the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. They committed what is called the unpardonable sin when they said, he hath an unclean spirit. Look at it. Mark chapter 3, verses 29 and 30. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Why? Because they said, he hath an unclean spirit. See, if you read the context of Mark chapter 3 there, what you've got is you've got scribes in verse 22 that come down from Jerusalem, and they say about Jesus Christ, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth thee out devils. So they are calling the Holy Spirit the devil. The only time that a man could have committed this sin, therefore, was while Jesus Christ was on earth, because that's the only time anybody could have said, he, speaking of Jesus, hath an unclean spirit. In other words, if you take Matthew chapter 12, which is the first verse we quoted, and begin reading with verse 24, and you take Mark chapter 3, and you begin reading with verse 22, and you read in the context that they're saying, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils, accusing of casting out the spirits by Satan, the Lord says, how can Satan cast out Satan? But you see what they're doing? They're calling the Holy Spirit the devil. Now, there's no other place in the Bible, Old Testament or New, that you find this sin mentioned. Paul never speaks about it. And if it was such a big sin that you and I could commit it, you know that he would have to mention it somewhere. Like I said, there are other sins that are committed against the Holy Spirit, and they are mentioned elsewhere in the Bible. They are mentioned elsewhere in the New Testament, but not this sin. Only in Matthew chapter 12, only in Mark chapter 3, only by saying this about Jesus Christ, he hath an unclean spirit. Now, this is a horrible sin. And there are people today who are worried sick about committing this sin. And there are also people today who have used the threat of this sin to convince others not to criticize the work in their lives or in their ministries that they attribute to the Holy Spirit. In other words, they attribute to themselves the same position that Jesus Christ had, and they say, if you say that what I'm doing is by the devil, then you are blaspheming the Holy Spirit in me, you see. In other words, they try to scare you that you may be committing this sin so that you won't point out to them or to other people that they're working under the influence of the devil. Well, let me tell you something. Peter didn't even hesitate. He was not the least bit afraid to nail Ananias and Sapphira with their devilment. They had lied to the Holy Ghost, which is one of the sins you can commit against the Holy Spirit. And he said, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And he said that to him when he spotted their fraud. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't worried about committing the unpardonable sin when he said that. Because he knew, see, that what they were doing was not something from the Holy Ghost. You know, and I know, that what Jesus Christ was doing from the Holy Spirit. But the Pharisees made accusation that it was the devil in order to keep those people from coming to Jesus Christ. Now, you shouldn't let people scare you by threatening you with a sin that you cannot commit today. Listen, I've talked with people who have gone to one of these modern charismatic churches, and they have witnessed a wild display of tongue talking. And what they saw scared them. They said, you know, the things that they were looking at didn't look right at all. And indeed, they didn't look right. Why? Because what they were witnessing violated the Holy Spirit's own rules for tongues. Have you ever read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 27 to 34? In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 27 to 34, listen. The rules for speaking in tongues in the church are listed. Number one, only two, at the most by three. One at a time, that is, that by course. Let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Let him speak to himself and God. Down here in verse 34, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as saith the law. And you know what they've seen? They go to the church and they see lots of women speaking in tongues all at the same time, no interpreter. It breaks the first law because there are more than two or three. It breaks the second law because they're all doing it at the same time instead of by course. It breaks the third law because all those tongues are not being interpreted and there's not just one interpreter. And it's not just men only. Women are doing it. And mostly it's women. Now, that's not the Holy Spirit. And you know, so what these folks have witnessed when they've gone into a modern charismatic church and seen that display, they recognize right away is either the flesh or it's the devil, but it's not the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will not violate his scriptural rules on speaking in tongues in the church. Now, when these folks who witness this chaos tried to question what was going on, you know what they were threatened with? You blaspheme the Holy Ghost of God. There you go. You see how people have taken a sin that cannot be committed today, that can only be committed by saying that Jesus Christ was doing something by an unclean spirit that was really being done by the Holy Spirit? And they put that on you because you say what's going on is either the flesh or the devil, and it's obvious that it's not the Holy Spirit because it violates the Scripture? Don't let them threaten you with, you blaspheme the Holy Ghost of God. They're only showing more of their ignorance. But you see, how people use this sin to threaten others who don't agree with what they're doing. A questioning a clear violation of scriptural rules for tongues is not blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Not in practice and not anywhere in the Bible. It's the right thing to do. You use the Bible as the authority to judge. Now look, these guys who would have you believe that just because they attribute what they're doing to the supernatural, it must be of God, that's not so. I mean, they may witness to you and they may say, look, this is not of the flesh. This is supernatural. This is a power. This is a spiritual power greater than us. It may very well be, but I'll guarantee you it's not of God just because you say it's of God. Look, any more than it was of the devil just because they said it was of the devil. Listen, the Pharisees attributed what they saw Jesus doing to the devil because they knew it was supernatural. And they knew that the devil certainly has great supernatural powers. And they knew that these powers closely resemble the supernatural work of God. You know, just because some guy says this is supernatural, this is the Holy Spirit, doesn't mean that spirit in him is holy at all. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we read in there about this revelation of the wicked, this thing that's coming where the Antichrist is going to be revealed and going to be known as we get closer and closer to the coming of the Lord. You know what happens? The spiritual power of the devil increases so that by the time the Antichrist gets here, he is doing miracles. And you know what kind of miracles those are? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, he is working with all power and signs and lying wonders. And you know what? Not the Holy Ghost. It's the devil. That's right. Just because something is supernatural doesn't mean it's automatically of God. In Revelation chapter 13, verses 13 to 15, you know what we see? We see that the devil has power to make fire come down from heaven. Well, that's what Moses and Elijah did. And he has power to give life to the image of the beast. You look at that and you say, that has to be of God. And the people will say that. It's not of God. It's of the devil. Look at Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, you know what you got? You got a bunch of lost people. And they're crying out to the Lord. And they're saying, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, the Lord says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? That's spiritual. And in thy name have cast out devils? Did you know that Judas Iscariot had the power to cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And you know what the Lord says to him in verse 23? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. They weren't saved and lost it. He said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Well, here you got a bunch of lost folks, people that the Lord never knew, performing wonderful works, prophesying, and even casting out devils. They were obviously not doing this work by the Holy Spirit. They were lost. So if you see something going on that is contrary to Scripture and you say, hey, this doesn't look right, and the person wants to threaten you by saying, you blaspheme the Holy Ghost of God, don't let them scare you. First of all, you can't commit the sin, and you're not wrong for questioning it when what they're doing is obviously not the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit won't violate the Scripture. Now, sometimes in the supernatural, what's happening is literally impossible to tell whether what's being done is being done by God or whether what's being done is being done by the devil. I'll give you an example. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 1. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 1. You know what happens? David numbers Israel. And the Lord, he'll tell you what motivated him to do it. 2 Samuel 24, 1, again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he, that's the Lord, moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. All right, there's the Lord. Now you read in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1, and you know what you read? You read about David numbering Israel. And you know who provoked him to do it? The devil. 1 Chronicles 21, 1, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. On the one hand, we find that God did it. On the other hand, we find the devil did it. And in this particular case, the Lord and the devil worked so closely on the matter that they were both involved. And obviously, you couldn't tell them apart because in one place it's God and another place it's the devil. Listen, you got to know that the devil is a great imitator. That woman in Acts chapter 16, that woman who followed Paul around and proclaimed, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. You can read about it in Acts chapter 16. She certainly appeared to be spiritual. She is helping to draw up a crowd for Paul. She's saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Nothing wrong with what she's saying. It all sounds very right. However, though what she was doing was spiritual, the spirit that was in her doing it was not the Holy Spirit. It was a spirit of divination, not the Holy Spirit. And you know what Paul did? He cast that spirit out of her. You say, wow, yeah, because you can see how closely the devil imitates the work of God. Now, you and I don't have great spiritual discernment. If you see something that's cockeyed and crazy going on, and somebody says this is a demonstration of the manifestation of the Spirit of God in our lives, and what they're doing violates Scripture, like this craziness that goes on in churches where many women are speaking in tongues, hey, I'm telling you, don't let them back you down by saying that you blaspheme the Holy Ghost of God. For one thing, what you're seeing is not the Holy Ghost. And for another thing, you got Paul here who, when confronted with a spirit of divination in a woman, cast that spirit out. I'm telling you, some of this stuff is just a work of the flesh, and some of it's the work of the devil. And truly, if you had been given by God the power to cast that devil out, and you said, get out of here, you'd see a lot of people hush. Listen, the Lord isn't going to charge you with the unpardonable sin just because you doubt whether some preacher or some gifted individual is really working in the Holy Spirit's power. We're warned throughout the Bible that there are many false prophets. We are warned throughout the Bible that there are many false teachers. And just because somebody does something that appears to be spiritual or supernatural reveals absolutely nothing about the source of their spirituality, they could easily be working for the devil. And you need to be very, very alert and very, very aware of that. So listen, don't fret over committing the unpardonable sin. You can't commit it today. The only way, as we've said, that it can be committed is to say of Jesus Christ, when he is working miracles on the earth, that he hath Beelzebub, that he hath an unclean spirit, because that's calling the Holy Spirit the devil. Now, since we're talking about unpardonable sins, or a sin that might be one that would damn a man to hell, may I tell you, there's really only one sin that will send a man to hell. That's right. Because if you think about it, Jesus Christ already died for our sins. We've been reconciled to God by his death. We're saved by his life. So there's only one sin that'll send a man to hell. And you know what it is? It's not the unpardonable sin. It's the sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief. The sin of not believing in Jesus Christ is the sin that will condemn a man. Listen to what John 3:18 and John 3:36 say. I'm going to read them together. John 3:18 and John 3:36. Here they are. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Do you see what the problem is? If a man believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not condemned. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. You see what the problem is? A man that doesn't believe is condemned already. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's already condemned him. The wrath of God is already on him. You see what the problem is? Now that's the sin you need to worry about. But may I tell you something? The sin of unbelief is pardonable. I mean, if it's the one sin that can send a person to hell, then it is that particular sin, that sin of unbelief, is pardonable. You say, how? All you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ and receive him. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's John 1:12. Listen, when the Holy Spirit was sent after Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, he came to this earth to reprove the world. And when you go to John chapter 16, you can see exactly what he came to do. Look in John chapter 16. You got to see this. Verse 8, when he has come, speaking of the Holy Spirit, John 16:8, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, why? Because they believe not on me, Jesus was saying. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. He is the only person who was perfectly righteous. In Christ is righteousness. Christ is the fulfillment of the law. Okay? And when he leaves, you don't have any visible way of seeing righteousness in a person, except for that bit of his righteousness that is in us that's changing our life, but not perfect righteousness like he had. And then of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged, and people need to know when they're following the devil in the course of this world that they're going to be judged along with him and cast into the lake of fire. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes to reprove the world of sin, what sin does he reprove them of? The sin of unbelief. Of sin because they believe not on me. You see it? If you're not saved, then you know what you need to do? You need to receive Jesus Christ. That's right. You need to repent. Listen, you need to repent and say, listen, I've been following my own religion or trusting my baptism or my church membership or my something. I've been trusting my own righteousness to get me to heaven. I have not put my faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to repent of that. You need to repent of sin that is keeping you from Christ. That's what you need to do if you're not saved. And then you know what you need to do? You need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's right. You need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, what does that mean? It means that Jesus Christ has already satisfied all the requirements of God for your salvation. You simply have to trust what he's already done for you. See, men are so religiously minded, they think, I must have to do something in order to earn salvation. You can't. You can't. Because Jesus Christ has already done all the work for you. For by grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So what you want to recognize, listen, very simply, is if you're not saved, then just come to the Lord and say, look, I repent of trying to save myself or do something to appease you so that I could be saved. And I right now, best way I know how, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm putting all my faith in what Jesus Christ has already done for me. And listen, he'll save you. He will. Why? Because he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You just look to God and say, listen, your son is already taken care of it. You're already satisfied by what he's done. I'm riding his coattails. I mean, when you get to heaven, it's one of those old-time phrases. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And if you know Jesus Christ and he knows you, you're coming in. So if you're not saved, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. But listen, if you are saved, quit worrying about somebody accusing you of committing the unpardonable sin just because you doubt that what they're doing is evidence of the Holy Spirit working in their lives. They're just trying to scare you. I mean, what if you're wrong? What if it really is something the Holy Spirit was doing? And you said, that doesn't look like the Holy Spirit to me at all. Well, it may be a natural man's view. Natural man receiveth not the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. The Lord understands that. But boy, when you recognize what's going on in your heart, what is the Holy Spirit, you say, man, that's God doing that kind of stuff, then you rejoice. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen. Don't let people scare you with something that you can't commit. It's impossible. That's something that was for a specific time, for a specific place, for a specific people, not for you. And I hope today that studying in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 12 and Mark chapter 3, you've been able to see the truth about the unpardonable sin, and you can look at that and say, thank God at least I'm not threatened by that anymore, and that you're at liberty now to judge something according to the Word of God when you see plainly from the Word of God that what's going on could not possibly be by the Holy Spirit. I pray the Lord will really help you with that and really help you to enjoy your liberty in the Holy Spirit and really help you also to be able to be relieved that judgment truly comes by the Scripture and not by somebody else's, you know, threat against your life. And if you weren't saved and you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray you'll get in that Bible and start growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is, after all, the one who's going to guide you in the truth. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.